Now, you'd be a mug if you thought that religion was the decisive factor in the surprise re-election of Scott Morrison's Conservative government. You'd also be naive to think it had nothing to do with the strong swing to Liberal candidates in some key Liberal marginal seats. In some in the Labor Party know they face a problem dealing with religious communities, and you'll hear from one of those MPs in a moment. But with the help of sociologist Dr. Andrew Singleton of Deakin University, we've crunched some data. In three marginal Queensland seats retained by the government, Ford, Leichhardt and Bonner, the number of Pentecostal Christians, and remember Scott Morrison is a Pentecostal, is 50 to 80% higher than the state average. These are not seats that are in any way affected by the controversy over the proposed Adani coal mine. In the bellwether New South Wales seat of Lindsay, the number of Pentecostals is more than 50% higher than the state average. And across the western suburbs of Sydney, this is Labor's ethnic heartland, where the no vote in the same-sex marriage ballot was up to 70%. There was an average 5% swing against Labor. So how does the ALP deal with this fractured relationship with some religious voters and not just Christians? Deborah O'Neill is a Labor senator from New South Wales. In the lead-up to the election, she worked behind the scenes to help smooth relations, mainly with the Christian schools lobby. She wasn't allowed to go public, but she joined me earlier.
Labor is absolutely set to engage and to represent faith communities. And indeed, I was really pleased that we had a series of very clear questions provided to us by the New South Wales Council of Churches. And I thought that their summary of Labor's position was very, very clear in our support. And in fact, it says in the very first section, Labor supports the appropriate protection of the religious freedom of all people, and that is in our platform. So if that is the reality, and I assure you it is, then you have to ask about what it was about the quality of relationships with a particular group of Christian school representatives where there wasn't a sufficient trust at that critical moment for us to have a conversation.
You've said there was a trust deficit. What was the reason for that trust deficit?
Well, I guess trust is something that you build over time. When it became apparent that there were some concerns, I was very happy to try to bridge the gap of communication that I think that exists. And it's something that we need to really manage going forward. But before it all becomes about a failure of relationship, there are great people there. There are great relationships, and they're happening right across the Labor Party with all faiths. The question is, what was it about this particular group that they were so willing to trust and advance a position in support of the then government and the new government to be formed that had promised them so much in terms of protection of religious freedoms for over 2 years and had failed to deliver? So that's a raw and very poignant question, I think, that needs to be answered.
But I suppose the question here is, what was it about Labor's campaign? What was it about Labor's approach to religious freedom that deterred then faith communities? I'm trying to get to the bottom of what you've identified as a very important trust deficit there, and how is it overcome?
We run a very great risk at this point of time to overstate the level of activity that was undertaken. It was a section of the Christian schools community. It wasn't all Christian schools. It certainly wasn't Catholic schools. It wasn't Jewish schools. It wasn't Islamic schools. So I think we need to sort of contain the scale of what this was while still acknowledging it's significant, right? So that's the first point. After that, we need to think about whether people of that particular Christian tradition have a very strong affinity with Prime Minister now, who is particularly attached to that form of Christian expression of faith and worship, and that that affinity was a stronger thing than perhaps I as a Catholic had in terms of a conversation with Christians. I do actually remember moving up to the coast and seeking a job and applying for both a Catholic and Christian schools. And the response from the Christian school was, "You're not a Christian, we can't employ you." And that was quite shocking to me, having had a degree of theology in that as well, to find how hard that boundary was being ridden. So I don't think that that boundary that I encountered then has really dissolved. Perhaps it's even hardened. And maybe that's an explanation of where there is a bigger demand for a longer term relationship to build that trust with individuals within the Labor Party and that particular part of Christian faith and worship communities.
More broadly speaking though, Deb, issues play a big role here. And you've, I think, spoken about this publicly. How do you think the Labor Party is perceived on a lot of the social questions, whether it's euthanasia, whether it's same-sex marriage, whether it's religious freedom? How is it perceived among people who once may have been socially conservative Labor supporters?
Well, I think one of the great myths that was peddled is that there's no conscience vote on these matters within the Labor Party. Well, you know, let's put it on the record. The conscience vote absolutely exists on critical matters within the Labor Party. And it's mischievous for people to try and pretend otherwise. And it was quite alarming for me to see that written, which was a gross misrepresentation of the fact.
The problem, I think, for many traditional Labor supporters, though, is that they may see you, they may see Senator Helen Polly from Tasmania, they may see Chris Hayes, who's a Labor member in Western Sydney, but it's very hard for them to nominate, if you like, a solid block of Labor MPs who either have a faith tradition, speak about it publicly, and defend it in the Parliament. I mean, isn't this becoming Labor's problem, that it's being seen as exclusively the secular party?
Well, how it's being constructed is a far cry from how it actually is. So, you know, we commenced our conversation talking about Anne Ali, who's a woman of Islamic faith, who expresses that publicly. She's in the Labor Party. Our Shadow Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, is Jewish and openly speaks about how his Jewish faith informs his particular participation in Labor politics. But we have, within our platform, let me state again, in our platform we declare Labor supports the appropriate protection of religious freedom of all people. We had Tanya Plibersek in the Parliament on the record say that schools are, and these I'm quoting exactly, schools are also entitled to have rules that ensure staff, and I'm quoting one of the organisations that wrote to me, she said, don't deliberately and willfully behave contrary to the values of school. That is a record of Labor's position in the most public possible way. That is not how it's perceived, because I think it's very much constructed as it needs to be driven by identifiable people of faith. You don't have to be a person of faith to believe in freedom of religion.
When or if a religious freedom legislation comes before the Parliament, will you support it and will you persuade your colleagues to support it?
I won't have to, because my colleagues already support the concept of a bill for religious freedom. What I do know is that you're asking me a question because the government that promised, particularly the Christian school sector, it would seem, that they were going to deliver this almost 2 years ago, has failed to do so. I believe it's an important thing to make sure that we get this right. The Labor Party is already committed to making sure that there is adequate and proper protection for religious freedom. That is not the debate. The debate is how it will exactly look and how that will work in a cosmopolitan democracy with multiple faiths that exist and people who have no faith having to accept it as well. And that is not something that's going to be so easy to deliver.
Labor Senator Deborah O'Neill, and this is the Religion and Ethics Report.